Larry Langford joins us on WGN. Hi, Larry. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Really good. And I think Steve Bertrand's in the WGN Radio Newsroom. I don't know if you've got a couple of minutes to join this conversation, Steve.
Well, I will when you're done with Larry. I don't really want to talk with Larry at the same
Well, we were competitors of his once upon a time.
I know.
MAQ. He's now the Director of Media Affairs and Communications for the Chicago Fire Department. Today's the 30-year anniversary of the Great Chicago Flood, which is getting so much attention this week. Larry, I guess you remember that well, huh?
Very well, like it was yesterday.
Why? What stands out in your mind?
Well, again, the way I came across that, a very slow news day, and I was really not thinking I'd come up with anything. The overnight shift, you know, we find some kind of a story that's going to last through the morning that we can talk about from the overnight. And I was coming up dry until this rather wet story appeared before me at around 6 o'clock in the morning when I started hearing all that traffic on the scanners indicating that the water was in basements, and decided to go to the Kinsey Street Bridge and take a look, and there was the big swirl. So that turned into a pretty big day.
Yeah, they were repairing a bridge. They were digging pilings that had to be moved over a little bit. The people doing it didn't realize there was an old unused tunnel underneath, and the pressure from the new piling was sufficiently close to the old, unused, and unknown for some of these guys tunnel that it actually broke through, and now a quarter of a billion gallons of water come rushing into the underground of the buildings and tunnels in the city of Chicago.
You know, Larry, what I think is lost when people review this is the rushing part. I'm sure you saw it too, but I was over, you know, all these underground tunnels throughout the loop, and they were worried about Tribune Tower. It was fine, but looking down through an elevator shaft at the water, it was like the Colorado River going by. I mean, it
really?
Just it wasn't just floodwaters rising. That was really racing. Do you remember that?
It was 40 feet deep. It was. I was over on
really?
State Street, got to go in and look into some of the basements.
Yeah.
And it was amazing how much water was flowing past, like a river, underneath the city. Too much for divers to go down there and try to do anything with. It was very scary because we thought foundations might fail. We were very scared for a while.
Yeah, think about that.
And, you know, we've also the fact that the loop just was, I think it lost power, but just was emptied out because of those concerns.
Yeah, the CTA had to cut the power to the subway system. The tall buildings cut their power because the basements were flooded, the generators were flooded, all of the transformer systems were completely flooded out, and Edison just pulled the plug on everything, and everyone was told to go home, and the mass exodus took place. It was truly amazing to see the way the city responded. Once I was on the air and pointed out that big drain hole at the Kinsey Street Bridge, I don't think it was more than 10 minutes before the place was just surrounded by city vehicles. And the first thing they did was told me to take a hike. They came in right away, and they started working on it. So it was a fast response.
It was not a good day to be John LaPlante, right? I believe that was his name.
That was the gentleman who ended up being the fall guy.
Right, and he was a fall guy, really, wasn't he?
Wait a minute. Who's John LaPlante?
He was a commissioner at the time.
And I was wondering about that. You know, Neil Steinberg in the Chicago Sun-Times has a piece about the flood, and he was part of a Discovery Channel UK special headlined, or the title of it was, Massive Engineering Mistakes. So Neil Steinberg is writing about this and his participation in this TV special, just telling the story about what happened in Chicago. Anyway, he didn't make it clear who or what was responsible. Like, clearly that one pylon shouldn't have been so close to the tunnel, but did they ever figure out who goofed?
Larry, you used the word fall guy, or the phrase fall guy, and I always kind of felt that was the case, too. Explain yourself.
Well, LaPlante was transportation commissioner at the time, but the real problem was the piling company asked for permission to relocate because they didn't want to get too close to the bridge tender.
Yeah.
So they asked the city formally, can we move this a little bit away? And whoever told them it's okay, that's the person I think that really would be responsible, because they didn't check the mapping to see just where the tunnels were, and we all knew the tunnels were down there. But no one checked. They probably figured it was, oh, it's just a foot or two, it'll be okay.
Yeah.
And that's where the problem was. Once permission was given to move that piling and sink it, well, then the die was cast. And the other problem came in when the city didn't act fast enough when it was discovered, the leak was discovered, and that's why I guess they decided to, that John had to walk the plank.
Yeah, and he sure did. But, you know, the other thing was, John, it's hard to imagine if you weren't there, but no one knew what was going to happen next because this water was rushing. It would have been very difficult to go down and plug the leak, certainly from the outside. And then this company, it was Kenny Construction, right? Larry came forward. And I remember sort of standing vigil out there at the Kinzie Street Bridge, hoping that they were going to be able to stop the flow of the Chicago River underground in the city of Chicago.
It was a terribly forceful display of water coming in down there. The divers went down and couldn't really see anything, but they did see that the pressure was enormous. And
we just lost him. Mm. I don't hear him. I wonder if it's kind of
it's the water.
I was just going to say, speaking of pressure, by the way, one other note about this, Steve, if we can reconnect, and we just got a minute left here, but the estimated damage in 2022 dollars is $3.7 billion to the city.
Yeah, I just want to say Larry's one of the all-time great guys in this business, and he's been with the fire department now for decades. But if you go back 30 years, that was 9 years before the terrorist attacks. And if you think of it in a way, I would imagine some of what the administration learned on that day was applied on September 11, 2001, when it comes to bringing the trains in and emptying out the downtown as quickly as they could.
Was the water really rushing
the way you guys are describing? Oh, it was. It would have been, had you fallen in, you would have been swept away and never found again.
And so then how intimidating that must have been for whoever had to fix that.
Very.
Like, I've had a leaky, but I don't know where Roy Spencer was from PermaSeal, but it sounds to me like the kind of problem no one's ever had to fix.
I remember looking over, and I still have the heebie-jeebies thinking of it, because we were looking down, and maybe 10 or 15 feet below us was this absolutely racing river, and you were just looking down an elevator shaft, so we saw 4 or 5 feet. If you were in there, you'd have been gone.
Yeah. And nobody died, right?
I don't believe anyone did, no.
Yeah. 157. What's the matter?
I just remember I won't name him, but there was a Sun-Times reporter, and we had the first news conference that night over on, maybe it was on Wabash, and he just lost it because the city wasn't really giving us any answers, and it was one of those classic sort of...
Meltdowns?
Yeah, meltdowns, absolutely.